So we've been talking about the fear factor and why the issue of fear is so important to God. And we talked about how in the Old Testament, when they moved in fear and they turned away from God, how that God seen it as despising him when they moved with fear. And so we come to a spot in this teaching at page 8 there towards the bottom. We see the question, what is it in fear that is so offensive to God? And what is it that fear produces? So we're going to examine for the next few weeks or however long it takes for us to get through what the effects of fear are. And we're going to start off with the fear of the lack of money will cause you to, and then we have a list of things here. And I'm sure if we really put a lot of thought to it, we could come up with more. And if you want, please do so. The lack of money, the fear of the lack of money, will cause you to steal, one thing. The fear of a lack of money will cause you to compromise your ethics. Like some people will cheat on their taxes. Some people will find ways to cheat and manipulate because they want to get what they can because of the fear of lack of money. It'll cause you to be dishonest, to lie. It'll cause you to take advantage of others' generosity. Fear of a lack of money. Fear of a lack of money will cause you or the person themselves to be not generous. If I give, then I don't have enough for me. So you see, this it becomes very, very self-centered. But let's look at what the Bible says. Philippians 4:9 tells us, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. So what these scriptures are going to do is they're going to dispel the fears. Because we've already established in the previous pages, chapters, if we want to say it that way, how true God's word is. Why can we trust in God's word? Because he's proved himself to be truthful. He's proved himself that he will not lie. In fact, he says, I can't lie. And if you have your notes, if you want to write Psalms 138, verse 2, we've talked about this scripture many times, that God puts his word above his name. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your substance. Again, we've seen that fear will produce you to not be generous, to not give. But the Bible tells us where to give. So if a person is in fear and they're not giving, they're being disobedient to the word of life. So they won't produce life. That's what the Bible says. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase, of all your increase, so that your barns shall be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with your substance. Honor the Lord. It doesn't say to give to the Lord, although that's in token what it's doing, but honor the Lord. With Lord, this I bless this is given to you, Lord, because of your blessing to me. I honor you, Lord. With the first fruits of all your increase. Psalms 35:27 says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Are you a servant of God? Or are you withholding from God? God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So again, dispelling the fear of lack. God wants to prosper you. Jeremiah 32:40. "I will make an everlasting covenant with them." So this is the Lord speaking, "that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land, assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul." God's going to put everything he has into it. "For thus says the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people." Remember, in Jeremiah, they were in the 70 years captivity. "So shall I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them." Okay, this is Jeremiah 32. We know Jeremiah 29. "I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good, not of evil." Deuteronomy 30, verse 9. "And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul." So God, he wants the best out of you so that he can give to you his best. He wants the best from you so he can give to you his best. Doesn't the Bible say, "As you sow, so shall you reap"? So again, if you have a 10-acre plot of land, all right, and you give it your best and you plant every acre of that, you're going to be blessed by an abundant harvest. But if you're afraid to put forth effort, you don't want to give it your best, you know, you only in fear, or for some reason you only plant an acre, you're not going to get 10 acres of harvest. It's a natural process that God has established. Give, and you shall be given. So let's go on. The fear of failure will cause you to, you take no risks. You don't put yourself out there. Their fear of failure keeps you in the realm of emotion. So you're being motivated by what you feel and not by what God's word says. And if you remember, so many times we said, God gives his word. He doesn't put emotion to it. He says it, and that's the way it is. He says it, that's his law. You do it or you don't. Failure, a fear of failure, will cause you to not see opportunities to benefit you. Your vision, your perspective becomes clouded because you don't see the positive, the opportunities. The fear of failure will cause you to have no trust in your God-given abilities. God has put talents in each and every one of you. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, we are his workmanship. It was created long before the foundations of the world. The giftings that God, how God has prepared you. He knew you before the foundation of the world, and he prepared works for you. But the person who's fear of failure, he'll have no trust. God can never use me. I won't be able to accomplish anything. The fear of failure will cause you to not look at the future, only concentrate on today. But we know that God is the beginning and the end. He knows the beginning from the end, right? So he knows what your tomorrows are. He knows what it will be, right or wrong? So God's pure word says, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. How many of you want to succeed? Here's the recipe right there. Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. What do you think the benefits of the meditation is?
What the benefit of it?
Yeah.
Hearing his voice.
Peace. Hearing his voice. Getting revelation. Getting understanding. Yeah. Out with the old, in with the new. And he shall be like a tree. The person who meditates on his law, the person who takes God's word to heart, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in due season. That means when it's time for you to produce, you produce. And his leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does. Deuteronomy 29:9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that you do. So I'm going to ask you a question right now based on this scripture. How many of you've really tried to serve God? And you've tried. You guys are wrong.
It's a trick question.
This is something that you do. You don't try. You do. If you try, if you're trying, you have a way out. You haven't given your all. If you're trying, then you have excuse if it doesn't work out. It isn't something that you try. This is what it says right here. Therefore, keep therefore the words of the covenant and do them. There's no word, there's no try in there. Try to keep it. Do it. That you may prosper in all that you do. That word was told to me and it has changed my life. I took it as not a rebuke, but a strong encouragement. And it was in my first sales job, 1991. And I was asked to canvass Ludington, without a crew, all by myself. And this the manager, the guy who was training me and sending me out, he told me two things. First, he says, "Do you think you can do it?" I says, "Well, I'll try." And he goes, "No." He looked me right in the eyes. He says, "No, do it." I went, "Whoa, that's a whole different mentality." And then he told me another thing, because this was a sales job, and he says, "You know, something that I've heard," he says, "liars figure, but figures don't lie." Liars figure, but figures don't lie. Karen works with numbers all the time. And if you have numbers here and you have numbers here, they all have to add up. You can't fudge anything. Everything has to add up. But that word, "do it," transformed me. So this is something you do. And that's what God says. Keep the words of this covenant and do them. Don't try. Don't do it on a good day. Do it. First Kings 2:1. "Now the days of David grew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." Well, be a man, Solomon. I'm leaving. It's time. Be a man. "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and whithersoever you turn yourself." Be a man. Obey God. Serve him. Keep the law. Keep the writings of Moses. 1 Chronicles 28:20. David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and of good courage and do it." Man, there it is again. Do it. "Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." If you will give your all, if you will give your best, he will not fail you. Many times, people don't fulfill the long haul, not because of God. Many times, they were just trying. And when it looked a little hard, or when it didn't go the way they thought it should go, this must not have been God. That's why we take so long here to show you the character of God. For you to get to know what he is, who he is, what he sounds like. So that when you are in your journey and you're going forth and something comes against you or something isn't going wrong, the first thing you do is, "Holy Spirit, I need you." You know? And the Holy Spirit gives you the way through. It's important for us to know. We spend a lot of time talking about trials, right? What's a trial? It's when God decides to put the fire on you to see what you're made of. What your response is, yeah. What you going to do when the fire comes on you? What you going to say? What's going to come out of your mouth? What's in your heart? God wants to, he wants to purify. Why? So that you can fulfill until so that you can finish the work. But you see, whose work is it? God's work. Whose principles do we operate by? Whose will is it? It's all about Him. So it behooves us to get to know what He expects. Until you've finished all the work for the service of the house of God, or for us, until you finish to complete what you've been sent here to do. One more. The fear of sickness will cause you to become a recluse. My mind is going to Rodney, what was
Howard Hughes?
Thank you. Howard Hughes. He had a phobia of like everything. And he wouldn't go out. You know, he his hair would grow, and he always would wear gloves. He was afraid to touch. He was afraid of life. But he was rich, wasn't he? He had his own. He invented an airplane, and had an airline, the Blue. Some, huh? No, this is way before that. Yep. Had everything, except for life. How many times have we said, the presence of God, the blessings of God, you can't manufacture it, you can't buy it. You become a recluse, the fear of sickness. Everything becomes untouchable. Karen and I have some neighbors. It's almost like she's even afraid of the air. Has allergies to everything. So it causes you to only to think about yourself. You withdraw. It's about you. Cause you to stay away from certain foods. Now, we know the scripture says that everything is good. You just bless it. You pray over it. It's fine. So, this is what the Word of God says. Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I'll put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. That sounds like a guarantee to me. Exodus 23:25. Ye shall serve the Lord your God, and shall bless thy bread, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of these. Now, what is that saying? I would take sickness away from the midst of you. Let's think long and hard. What is that really saying? Anybody? You guys are afraid to answer now? It's not a trick question. So, understand, okay? Let's look at that again. Where was that?
Exodus 23:25.
Yes. I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. there are places, in fact, especially like a refugee camp over in the third world nations, everybody is sick. They live in a sick place, a sick way, a sick life. And what God is saying, he's not saying, you know, because we're in this world and, you know, I mean, I've caught a cold, you know. I went through COVID, but I'm not living in COVID. Okay. I've had a cold or I've had the flu, but I don't live with the flu. I don't live with sickness. I am the God that healeth thee. What does that mean? If you never got sick, then you could never be healed, right? Think about it. I am the God that healeth thee. If things come up, he's there to heal you. So don't misunderstand that, oh, I got a sniffle, so God's word must not be true. Because he is the God that healeth thee, and you don't have to live in an impoverished, sick state. You see what I'm saying? You ever see those pictures, you know, of those refugee camps, you know? When my first trip to Africa, we're driving, and I never seen a kid with a big belly. Didn't see it. I asked Pastor Robert, I says, and we went through Uganda, we were in Rwanda, and we went into the Congo. I says, Pastor Robert, how come I'm not seeing these starving little kids with the big bellies? And he says, that only happens in the refugee camps. That's not the normal life in Africa. See, what happens in the refugee camps is that there's a coup that takes place. It happened in Rwanda, where if you weren't of the right tribe and you wanted to keep your life, then you got out. And so they left Rwanda, and between the countries are tracts of land, maybe like a quarter mile wide, and they border the whole state. Those are nowhere land. They're a neutral land, and that's where they go, is into these boundary areas. Now, the country that's neighboring, they don't want them. Their own country, they don't want them, so they get no help. And they begin to starve. That's where you see these camps where they're starving with the little kids and the flies on their faces. And that's that condition in that state. That's not the normal state. But you have to understand, it's a strange mindset here, because it's impossible, unless we're Native American and you're pure Native American, it's impossible for us to be tribal. Because none of us are pure blood. Well, except Karen. She's pure German.
Joe's pure Dutch.
Pure Dutch. Pure. So it's tribal. And so the strongest tribe rules. And if you're not part of that tribe, even in Uganda, if you're part of the right tribe, you get the preferred jobs. You get the preferred education. If you're not, then good luck to you.
Tough luck.
Yeah, tough luck. But that's the way those nations, then you've got religious sects, you know, out in the Middle East, and so it's tribal. Two more scriptures. Deuteronomy 17, 7:15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and I'll put none of these diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all that hate thee. Oh. Psalms 103:1. Psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. So for the person who has a fear of sickness, we have a sure word from God's pure word of what he will do. Jeremiah 33:6 says, behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And we have a whole lot more to go through. So we offset our fears, whatever the fear, through God's word, because it will not fail. Yes.
There was this pastor, pretty well-known pastor. When COVID hit and they closed all the churches, he refused to close his church. And they kept meeting through the whole time. And they never got COVID until just a little bit ago. And COVID swept through the church. And all these people were getting sick in the congregation. And this man was a huge voice for, stay open, don't be scared of COVID, this and that, Anyways, so he ended up putting out a statement. I have to close the church. I can't do this to my people. I've got to get this under control. And 2 weeks later, he died of COVID.
Wow.
And it's just blown my mind. And I've been thinking about it all the time, but I just had a revelation as you're speaking that he was a testimony of faith the entire time, but when tried and put to the test, he closed the doors. Mm. He died. And his statement was of fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so,
in the midst of that, he didn't say, though the Lord slay me, still I'll serve him. Even if, I'll go into the fire. I'm willing to go into the fire. God's going to save me. We have to be willing to stake our life on God's word.
And obviously God put it in his heart to take that stance and stay open, and he blessed them because not one person had gotten sick for the entire time,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't know what, but obviously it tried by faith. And
yeah. In closing, your greatest strength can be your biggest downfall. That's why we talk dependency. Dependency. God, I need you. I need you in the good times. I need you in the tough times. Because whose will is it? Whose work is it?
God.
Whose church is it?
God.
Whose gifts is it?
God.
It's all about God. It's not about us. So we stand upon what? His word. He'll never fail. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is sure. And you tell us, do it. And Lord, we will, as it says in James, we'll be doers of the word, not just hearers. But we'll demonstrate our faith by the things that we do. So continue to teach us your ways. We need your ways. In this time, in this day, we need your ways. We need the revelation of your ways and your character more and more. Teach us, we ask. Let these words sink into our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.